A woman stands in her modest South Georgia home, introducing her college-bound children with pride. Her daughter is pregnant, but determined to become a teacher. Her son studies criminology. When asked what she wants for herself, confusion flickers across her face. After 20 years as a cashier, she hesitantly admits to dreaming of starting a daycare for unwed mothers. But her body language screams, "This isn't for someone like me." This moment captures a truth many of us carry. We've been taught that certain dreams aren't ours to claim. Whether because of race, gender, class, or circumstance, we've internalized the message that wanting more is presumptuous. At 18, after a breakup that stung with accusations of caring more about ambition than love, one response was to retreat to a college computer lab and create a 40-year spreadsheet. Writing best-selling novels by 24, becoming a millionaire by 30, serving as mayor by 35, dreams that made palms sweat but helped sketch a bigger future. Here's what matters. Understanding why you want what you want transforms ambition from fantasy into action. Mayoral aspirations crystallized not from ego, but from watching Atlanta erupt after the 1992 Rodney King verdict. Organizing a march to City Hall felt inadequate. When police tear-gassed college students and housing project residents alike, the realization hit. Race united everyone despite educational differences. This led to questioning the mayor at a town hall, which unexpectedly resulted in a sophomore year job discovering how government could channel an introvert's voice into meaningful change. Following that spreadsheet for a decade revealed an important truth. The job title was never the dream. Ambition should be more than position. Like dating the wrong person, we must learn what's truly for us and be willing to pivot. If you can walk away for long periods, it's not an ambition, it's a wish. Fear whispers that now is not your time, that winning is not your right. It starts young, not as healthy caution, but as hesitation to speak up in class or sit at certain lunch tables. We internalize these voices. We won't win, it's not our turn, we lack the pedigree. For those outside traditional power structures, there's an added burden, the fear that ambition alienates us from our communities. Wanting more means confronting both the possibility of failure and the responsibility of success. Rather than mimicking confrontational tactics, develop your own effective approach. Success intensifies pressure to be spokesperson for your entire group, but refusing to shy away from tough conversations while using your unique perspective creates real impact. Finding balance between fitting in and authenticity requires clarity about how you wish to be seen. Fears about how differences are perceived never disappear, but awareness helps us work with them. Like most underestimated people, learning to overperform and strategically take credit becomes necessary. Leadership and power require confidence to wield both effectively. In 2013, Georgia had over 800,000 unregistered people of color, a community the size of South Dakota unable to vote. Rather than lamenting this, launching a nonprofit voter registration effort could shift the state's balance of power. Between March and August 2014, raising over $3.5 million and submitting 86,000-plus registration applications sparked an investigation questioning how so many people of color were registered so quickly. Opportunity isn't synonymous with easy execution. It can be messy and painful, but worth it. The path to power isn't the straight road we're told about. For marginalized communities, the self-made success myth ignores critical realities. Loans rarely available where average wealth is $7,500. The privilege of starting on second base due to family wealth. Society punishing outsiders who challenge norms. We must discover hidden pathways, the hack, to circumvent traditional systems and own opportunity. The first impediment is access, not knowing what's available because we're excluded from inner circles where information is shared. The second is entry, discovering the passwords to get inside. Without insiders to champion us, we remain beyond the gates. When first running for state office in 2005, lacking relationships with incumbent legislators meant missing their endorsements. Instead of following tradition, leveraging fundraising strength to hire local community members who introduced candidates door-to-door found success without the usual ladder. Once inside, cultivate relationships beyond the C-suite, particularly with support staff who hear everything. Real-life validators who sing your praises become crucial reminders of your capacity.
At 29, becoming deputy city attorney for Atlanta without management experience meant facing team hostility. The law department's financial manager became an unlikely mentor, lower ranking and lacking legal expertise, yet offering crucial guidance from controlling meetings, the head of the table is wherever you sit, to learning staff details before assignments. You need multiple mentor types: allies understanding your challenges, supporters knowing majority perspectives, sponsors opening doors, advisors invested in your success, even distant mentors influencing through their work. Seek situational mentors for specific needs like salary negotiations. Peer mentorship proves equally valuable. Colleagues sharing salary information, partnerships becoming informal MBAs. As mentee, create the mentorship you want. Believe people offering help, but make it easy by scheduling check-ins, preparing questions, asking directly for needs. Professional friendships require boundaries and reciprocity. Share opportunities, provide feedback, always ask, "How can I help?" Though the mythical career Sherpa may not exist, an "it takes a village" approach serves well. Economic geography shapes opportunity from birth. Zip codes determine access to quality education and resources. The author's parents strategically lived in a poor neighborhood within a middle-class school zone while ensuring their children accessed gifted programs in wealthier areas. Graduating law school in 1999's booming economy brought offers jumping from $75,000 to $95,000, more than her parents made combined. Yet poor credit from relying on cards for necessities and helping family created crushing debt. The wake-up call came when bar exam applications required settling all debts. Later, diverting tax money while self-employed to help parents during crises created new financial holes. Nearly 20 years later, still paying student loans taught the importance of securing your own financial oxygen mask first. Financial independence gives power to decide our futures. Understanding how money drives organizations provides a passkey to influence. Budget managers typically call the shots. Speaking finances language offers outsiders a creative path to power. Impulsively attending a Spelman board meeting led to members explaining financial statements, knowledge that later earned positions on powerful committees. Effective fundraising requires specific strategies. Choose diverse partners accessing different networks, prepare thoroughly with funding details, research your audience's giving patterns. When facing rejection, reframe your pitch or seek feedback. Create detailed lists of potential supporters, including small dollar contributors. A 10th grade AP English teacher criticized using too many big words, wanting vocabulary toned down so other students wouldn't feel less accomplished. Parents responded firmly, "We send her to school to learn how to think, not to be told what to think." This taught that minorities are often expected to be meek, but winning begins with believing we deserve to be seen and heard. When taking risks, failure is inevitable. Failing forward maps what to avoid while previewing better outcomes. When a baby bottled water venture failed due to funding issues, that failure became a pathway. One lender later requested consulting help, leading to a financial technology company that now moves millions to small businesses. Effective leaders can say, "I don't know," to the person they most want to impress. As minorities, we feel intense pressure to be right. Watching leaders who confidently admitted ignorance, always coupling it with a plan to find answers, teaches valuable lessons. Our most significant successes come from letting our light shine, embracing failure, and getting good at being wrong. Rebecca, a patient advocate with no grant writing experience, faced a $100,000 award application against larger organizations. Noticing winners needed community endorsements, she leveraged her patient relationships to gather over 1,000 testimonials, more than all other applicants combined, and won. For minority leaders, victory requires creativity. Leverage overlooked resources, turning tap water into profitable brands, using a colleague's credibility to launch initiatives, or adopting pseudonyms to circumvent restrictions. When co-founding a consulting firm, I took the COO role while my partner became CEO. Friends questioned my giving up power, but titles and influence aren't synonymous. Demonstrating expertise in client meetings mattered more than any title. For outsiders, winning must be adaptable. Distinguish your definition of winning from those in power and create a power map identifying who can help. Collaboration is essential. Minorities needn't be lone geniuses. Deeply held convictions shape decisions, preventing opportunistic choices while allowing thoughtful compromise. When creating your path, inventory what you have, rules to manipulate, overlooked resources, opportunities to enhance. In a world telling outsiders to wait their turn, your power is refusing to shrink. Your otherness isn't a liability, it's your unique vision's source. When they question your aspirations, let your haters be your motivators. The future needs leaders who refuse to accept that power belongs to someone else. This is your power. Now, use it.